Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. Welcome to Poetry with Flavor. Hi. Hope everyone's doing well. I have one eye on my poetry papers and one eye looking out the sliding glass door because they're calling for storms in the area. And I don't know whether... You don't... I don't know whether it's because I'm up in age, but the storms really frighten me, you know. And every time they talk about storms and the heavy rains and the winds and the possible tornadoes, for some reason I think of the Three Little Pigs. You know, I'm a huff and a puff and blow your house down. But my dog Mo, she's I'm looking at her. She's out there on the porch. But so if I have to drop the phone for a second and grab her in, that will be why. If you hear the silence, I've gone to get her. Okay, I want to do something a little different today. I want to share, this is TikTok, and once you're on TikTok, I really don't know how any of this stuff works, but they have what we call the algorithms, and so I guess they monitor what you watch, what you're interested in, and then they send you things on that topic or those topics that you look at the most. And so I got a new video in my feed today, and it's very compelling. And I wanted to share it, and I hope we can get some dialogue about it. What is extra interesting about it, the topic is about Black women and our hair. And the person who wrote this commentary is a white man. And it took me, I don't know how long, it took me 45 minutes, I think, almost 45 minutes to figure out how do I get in touch with this man? What do you click on, blah, blah, and then I had to type, and I'm very slow. So anyway, I did send him a direct message and asked him if I could share this TikTok video he did on the podcast. And he messaged me back and said it would be okay. And wait a minute. Some of you may, before I play that, some of you may remember the poem that I wrote. And I keep saying 20 years ago. I have to get a grip because most of these poems, honest to God, when I sit down with a calendar, these were done more like 30, 40 years ago. But anyway, the poem that I wrote, Our Crowning Glory, I believe it was the early 70s, like 1970, 1971, somewhere around there. But it was at the time where the Black community was very proudly accepting who we were, especially physically, with our afros, our bushes, as we called them back then. And we took pride in wearing our hair naturally. And even with all that, part of that history is that many lost jobs or demoted and so forth because our natural hair was not accepted by the powers that be. And so I'm just going to read our crowning glory before I get to the TikTok commentary that I want you to hear. And our crowning glory is what I was trying to remember where I got that from. All I can think of is my grandmother, but and I've heard it other places. But I remember as a young girl, my grandmother using that term, referring to our hair. We've fried it, dyed it, plastered it, added extensions to it, wigged it, sewn and weaved it. We've done everything but freed it. We've waved it, crinkled it, crimped it, crunched it, creamed it. We've straightened it, smoothed it, sparkled it, sprayed it, mashed it, moosed it, glued it, gelled it, greased it, teased it into believing it's what it's not. We've done everything but been pleased with it. And as I said, that was written a long time ago, but still, in my mind, it's still current. Another part of the hair thing, that was for women, but men have gone through the same processes. But there's a young man on TikTok called the Hair Mechanic. Say that again, the Hair Mechanic. And I don't know how old he is or anything. I don't know whether his profession was as a barber, and then he's gotten into braiding black men's hair. But it is absolutely amazing to watch him. So at very intricate patterns that he braids into these men's hair. And very interesting to see. He's called the Hair Mechanic, if you want to look that up on TikTok or what have you. Okay. This gentleman's name is Scott Lloyd, and he spells his last name Lloyd without the L-O-Y-D. And I wanted to share his share his commentary. Trying to push the button, okay, and please let me know if you can hear it well. Let me see. Make sure everything's turned up. Okay.
Wear their hair the way that they want to. Keep your hands off of their hair, their weaves, and their wigs. Treat them with respect.
Well, what reason?
Today I want to shed some light on a topic that demands our attention and action. The racist attitude surrounding black women's hairstyles and the use of wigs and weaves.
What fucking reason?
All right, I stopped it right there because I forgot to tell you, he has little clips within this TikTok video of the young lady. Her name is Lizzie Ashley. She is a singer and musician. And more than three weeks, it was the end of May, and she's just walking down the street and gets assaulted by this white man who snatches her wig off. And so she was confronting him and asking him why. That's another thing you might want to know. His name is Anthony Orlich, and he's an attorney. And in the clip, you'll see that it was funny to him. And she's shouting at him, why would you do that? And so the whole clip, he's laughing. He's trying to get away from her. It's all funny to him, elitist, arrogant attitude. But what has happened since that incident from his law firm?
Good.
And I understand that the young lady, Lizzie Ashley, has an attorney, and I hope she gets every penny he has. But, okay, let me go back to the, I'm not going to interrupt now. This is Scott Lloyd, and he's talking about respect for black women here. Okay.
What reason?
Hair is a beautiful and versatile aspect of one's identity that has long been a battleground for discrimination and marginalization, especially when it comes to black women. For centuries, black women have faced relentless scrutiny and prejudice because of their natural hair. Society's narrow beauty standards have perpetuated harmful stereotypes, labeling Afro-textured hair as unprofessional, unkempt, or even unhygienic. It is important to recognize that black hair is not a trend, a fashion statement, or something that can be dismissed. It is an intrinsic part of black culture and heritage. Black women's hairstyles are a symbol, a powerful symbol of self-expression, identity, and culture. It is what gives people resilience, creativity, and deep connection to their roots. Yet despite this rich tapestry of history and significance, black women have been forced to conform to Eurocentric beauty ideas with chemical straightening, weaves, or wigs. And when they...
Can you hear the tape clearly?
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Okay, okay. I forgot to ask. Okay.
Wear weaves and wigs, they are often scrutinized because they do so. This perpetuates self-esteem issues and the damaging notion that black hair in its natural state is somehow less desirable or professional. It is essential for us to challenge these harmful attitudes and celebrate the beauty and diversity of black women's hairstyles. We must actively work towards inclusivity, creating spaces where black women feel free to wear their hair in its natural form or wear a wig and a weave without judgment or negative consequences. Education is a crucial tool in dismantling these racist attitudes. Open dialogue, education around the historical and cultural significance of black hairstyles, and promoting understanding and empathy is important to fostering an environment where diversity is embraced and discriminating practices become relics of the past. Legislation also plays a vital role in combating these biases. The Crown Act, creating a respectful and open world for natural hair, is a primary example of progress in this area. The legislation, already enacted in several U.S. states, prohibits discrimination based on hairstyles associated with race, including braids, locks, twists, and afros. We should advocate for the adoption of these laws globally, ensuring that no one is denied opportunities to wear their natural hair. Furthermore, representation matters. Media, fashion, and beauty industries have a responsibility to showcase the beauty of black women's natural hair and challenge the harmful narratives that have persisted for far too long. By uplifting and amplifying diverse voices and experiences, we can redefine beauty standards and inspire future generations to embrace their authentic selves. Encourage black women to wear their hair the way that they want to. Keep your hands off of their hair, their weaves, and their wigs. Treat them with respect. Black women are beautiful and deserve to be treated as such.
Okay. Now that was, I mean, it was just compelling to me. It made me tear up.
Yeah.
And
he's
a white man. And I'm saying, where are, well, I'm not to be negative, but this is just the facts. Where are our black brothers?
That's right. That's exactly right.
You know, where are, I'm your mate. I'm your chosen one, you know. Where was your support in that? I didn't hear anything at all about the young lady, the singer, Lizzie Ashley. I found out about it was on my TikTok feed, and it went viral. That was, what do they call that? It went viral through what they call social media. That's why it's out there. But when she first, when you get a chance to look at that short TikTok tape about the incident, you'll see She uses only one cuss word, the F word, and, hey, rightfully so at the incident. She's asking him why, and he has that attorney, I guess it's his friend that's with him on the street, is telling him to stop and apologize to her, and he doesn't do it. And he has this smirk on his face that I just wanted to slap him. But the young lady, when she first was brought on TV, she was saying she just wanted an apology. But I'm glad someone got to her and told her to get a lawyer.
That's right.
Yeah.
She needs more than an apology.
That's right. And he felt so entitled. I mean, if you see him on this tape, I know it's going to make you mad, you know. But I just wanted to share that. What do you think about us not supporting her or not here? I haven't heard that much from our community about what happened.
I had a comment, but not about our brothers. I just wanted to comment on this man who did this video, and I found it was very impactful. I found it encouraging to know that there is at least one white man on the planet who was willing to put himself out there, and I wondered what his question was. I said, is he married to or dating somebody black or best friend?
Well, you know, I'm sorry to cut you off. I got so full up after listening to him. I looked him up, you know, on the internet. I said, I got to find out who this man is. And he has a page. Let me spell his name, because you can just look him up and you can read all that later. But his name is Scott, and it's Scott with one T, S-C-O-T. And his last name is Lloyd, L-O-Y-D. And,
okay, Scott with one T, L-O-Y-D.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so I looked him up, and I found he has a blog on the internet. And there was another piece that he had written. Now, I don't know whether he's married or whatever. I started reading his essays, his commentaries. And, well, I only read one. I'm going to go back and read more. And I got on his mailing list. I read a letter called, A Letter to Roy. This was his black friend from school and from the military. I'm telling you, I was in tears. But this guy, yeah.
Okay.
And so he talks about, I find it to be very sincere, very genuine. I think he sees people as human beings and not color. And he talks about how his friends reacted to him having a black friend. And I've always wondered about that. I have a story I could tell you about that happened to me since the pandemic, where I lost two friends who were white, but anyway, we'll talk about that later. But this guy is, I think he's really genuine. His writing is very well done, very compelling, very interesting. And it's like, you know my poetry is looking at the world through black eyes, and his writings is looking at the world, you know, through his white eyes. but only he has, he's been blessed to see people as people and not in categories of color and so forth. But so I hope you all will visit his page. Yeah, did you like his essay? I mean, his commentary.
Oh, I did. I think he spoke with passion.
Yeah. rang. I could hear the sincerity, and I was wondering where that would come from to come out of him.
Mm-hmm. Right. And I don't know the answer. Exactly. Exactly.
That's not an ordinary topic that you would expect a white person to speak on.
Right.
And I'll be reading everything he's written, you know. But he does have his own blog. I gave you his name. And I just put his name, you know, put his name in the search. What do you call, you know what to do. I'm not a tech person. And it'll come up, you know. But I think he's worth to hear what he has to say, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Thanks for sharing.
Yes, I'm so... That was so nice of him, because I wrote him and asked him could I have this, you know, permission to share that, and he was very open to it, you know.
Oh, good. Mm-hmm. Lucy.
Yeah.
Odessa got something. I thought I was gonna get a chance to call you and tell you about it, but Odessa got something to share with you. That is just wonderful, and hopefully when I get some time, I'm going to be able to take you there. Odessa got to show me first where it is, but she got something that she's going to share with you because it's related to some of your poetry.
Oh, okay.
Okay,
go
Odessa,
right
please
ahead.
Share it with you. I'm excited about it myself.
Well, I must say,
Don't tell me the juke joint is open.
I found the juke joint.
She sure did.
Oh, wow.
And I was excited to go look for it because there is no direct address. I was just given directions how to get to it, but there is no direct address that you can put in your,
what's
that thing?
Well, they were hidden for the most part, you know.
Yes, and it is still standing. You said you wanted to take pictures of it. I think you can take all the pictures you want. It is off to itself. Side of it has what we used to call tar paper on the side.
Yes.
Oh, I remember tar paper.
Lord. That's an authentic juke joint.
Yes, and it is green, and I don't remember seeing any windows, but all around it, weeds and everything have grown up, and after I take Ann out to see it, it's just 5 minutes from the church.
Oh, see, not far.
Goodness.
Yeah, just 5 minutes from the church, and once Ann sees it, I know we'll have a good laugh. But,
That's right. Now I'll come back and get you, and we'll go by and see it.
Absolutely.
Oh, my
and you off. You just
can't wait.
Well, I just wanted you to know I did find it.
Well, I'm gonna put on my rain boots so I can walk through the weeds. So I can get up close and look at it.
You enjoy
your... Oh, that's awesome. That is awesome. Oh, my goodness.
It sure is.
I bet the walls could talk in that jute joint.
Oh, I bet they could.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. That's wonderful. I'm just grinning. because I'm excited, like, I want to see
you
that.
You know, because every little black community had their place where they gathered.
Sure did.
Yeah.
They sure did.
Yeah. Well,
and
we had to. We had to because we
so
couldn't.
Close to the, what's so funny about this well, one is it's so close to the church.
Uh-huh.
That is awesome. Oh, my goodness. Oh, I'm ready. I'm ready to go. I'm picturing in my head the, you know, the color purple where they had the juke joint out there.
Oh, yeah.
And the,
uh-huh.
Yeah. Oh, my
yeah.
goodness. Oh, and I'm sitting here thinking about the mayonnaise jars you bring to put your liquor in.
Uh-huh. Yep. That's right.
Yeah. Well, as soon as Ann and I coordinate, she'll coordinate with
you.
As soon as Ann coordinates schedule, she will coordinate with you, Miss Lucy.
Sure will.
Oh,
sure will. Yeah.
All righty. Well, I went with Mr. Willie to Concord a couple of weeks ago, and he took me to this not a juke joint. He took me to a computer, a computer place where they, what do you call, refurbished computers.
Uh-huh.
And I think I told you last time, I got a computer. I bought a laptop and I still haven't used it yet, but I'm getting there. But he also took us by Barbara Scotia College.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah.
And Odessa, I'm telling you, you will cry when you see it.
Oh, yeah.
I have seen it recently. Yes,
you,
I have.
Yeah, I have seen it, too. It's enough to make you cry.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's terrible. And the reason I had that on my mind today, about a week ago, just about a week ago, they had, and I was trying to call Mr. Willie, but I couldn't get him on the phone. And then, of course, my mind, I forgot all about it. But this is another topic that I got to put a star by that I need to research, because Barbara Scotia is in financial trouble. And they showed on the news, whatever the committee is, city committee or what, I don't know what they were, but they were not, they were denying something from Barbara Scotia. They had a deadline. In other words, I think they're trying to take the land. That's what
oh,
I
yeah.
think.
So too.
Because
yeah.
when Mr. Willie took me there, if you go just like right behind the building, you see all these new houses that are being built. You know what I'm saying? Whole new communities being built. And I said, they want that land.
Mm-hmm.
You
oh,
know?
Yes.
And it just
now,
made
that committee,
so...
I saw something
Did
on
you
TV.
See it?
They claim that Barbara Scotia will not work with them. That the representative from Barbara Scotia, I mean Scotia, said they're telling them, okay, right now they don't want their help. They want more time to get some funds ready.
Mm-hmm.
I don't
mm-hmm.
know. It's just they're not working together. The group claims
exactly.
that they are trying to help them preserve the school. Barbara
no,
Scotia claims that that's not what they're doing, that they are not giving mm-hmm. them enough time for them to
right.
get their resources and let people know that they need help.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And I didn't see the – I came in, I don't know what session, what was shown, the council group or whatever was already talking by the time I found that it was on TV.
Yeah.
And right
yeah,
away,
saw, yeah.
right away, you could see they're after that land. They don't
That's
want that college to
That's
be revived.
property.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And the houses, I was oohing and ahhing. I said, oh, my God, look at that. I mean, I don't think there are any cheap houses that they're building. They look expensive to me. And I said, they're doing that. They're putting that timeline on them or denying them because they want that land, period.
Right, right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It just made me so sad. I said, oh.
Yeah,
anyway.
That is. Yeah.
And, you know, there's so much that we've got out of order in our community. Like,
oh, yeah.
I mean, you know what? Something as simple as if they would advertise this, put this out, that this particular school, Barbara Scotia, this month, Barbara Scotia is our focus. Every black person send $1. You get millions.
That's what exactly what this alumni said. It wasn't about Barbara Scotia. I think it may have been when Shaw University was in trouble. That's what she said. $1.
Sure.
If everybody,
she
said it would be millions coming in.
Oh, my God.
Right.
I'm telling you, we could do this. Our mindset is so messed up. We've got to come together. We could save Barbara Scotia this month. Next month, we do Shaw. Next month, we do whatever. Every historically black college and university, do one a month.
That's
and
right.
If you ask people
exactly
$1,
right.
how can you refuse to give $1?
That's exactly
if
what the lady, she was alumni, that's what she said. If you just gave $1, look at the millions of dollars that would be coming in.
Oh, my God. Yes, indeed.
Whew. I understand those.
But that's what
alumni.
That group from Barbara Scotia was saying. They were asking the town or whatever the committee is, they needed more time to put their things in order. They said that what the city was trying to do forced them to just go along with what they had set up and didn't want to listen to how they were trying to do things. They were asking for more time so that they could get their plans, you know, into place.
But the city group, which was all white,
They've already
it's already a done deal in their mind. Mm-hmm. That land is theirs. I'm telling you, that's what's happening. And it's a shame.
County News has been running some good articles about that ongoing battle that Barbara Scotia has set for a few months now. And they have been putting, like you said, the real truth behind the struggle.
Oh, wow.
That county paper every week. They have really been covering it.
So what's the name of the paper that I can get it online?
Okay, it's called The County News. And it comes out, I believe, out of Statesville.
Okay.
It's once weekly black newspaper. It's owned by a black woman.
Oh, okay. Statesville. Okay, I'm writing it down.
Statesville. It's called The County News. And that's where they have all the news of all our black churches, what they got going kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And for the last several months, they have been running articles about Barbara Scotia's troubles.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I took a photograph of one of the buildings where the roof was off on one side of the building. Okay, with that in mind, I'm going to read Rites of Passage. You know, the piece that I wrote about Livingstone College, 1965 to 1969. Some of you may have it in booklet form. I'm going to do another booklet as soon as I get on this, learn how to use this computer. But I've been what my father would call piddling in boxes in the garage, and I got it's really weird to me. I got all these photos. Well, it's not a lot, but I have several photos of my mother and father at Livingstone College in the 1940s, 1930s to 40s. And I said, I'm going to redo that booklet and put those pictures in there. And I even have a picture of my mother in her 50-year anniversary cap and gown.
Oh, that's wonderful.
So, yeah. And but anyway, that Barbara Scotia thing just burns me up. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And let me say something else about Livingstone. Anne, do you mm-hmm. remember where we used to get the newspaper in the mail since graduation? You know, I used to get the Livingstone. What's the name? Livingstone. Anyway. Newspaper, and they.
Now you know you're right. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. I forgot.
Yeah, and I wish they would resurrect that, and so that they can keep people in touch, so that
what's happening
to Barbara Scotia doesn't happen to Livingstone.
That
you know.
Are so right. I would never want that to happen to Livingston. Never.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because who and what I am today, all that I got from that school, especially Dr. Smith didn't play.
Oh, wow. Yo, no.
Oh,
yeah.
Lordy, she did not play.
Yeah. Yeah. And to be late to her class when she had a wooden leg.
Oh, no.
You know, you had no reason to be late to class. Yeah. Anyway. She wrote me a nice little note when I started doing my poetry.
Oh, that's wonderful. I know that made, I know she was proud of you.
Yeah. Well, at the time, she was no longer at Livingstone. She was at the... what's the name? University of Pittsburgh.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. I'm looking for the paper now. Well, no, I ain't going to look for it now. Next time I get
on.
I didn't know that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I didn't know it either. I just thought, you know, it was on the note.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I'm going to, and as we know, the majority of our, in fact, probably all of our HBCU schools were founded by the church. And I say the church. They're a denomination from Methodist to Baptist to what have you. Without our churches, we could not have had a Livingstone.
That's right.
Mother was sent to Livingstone by her church, Bethel AME Zion in Middletown, Ohio, sent her to Livingstone College. Because then, you know, nobody had any money.
That's right.
Back then.
I tell you, I may have mentioned this to you, Lucy. I don't know what I've ever mentioned to Odessa. But I remember when I first went to Livingstone, most of the kids, as you said, were AME Zion. Because I was a Presbyterian, but it's not denomination that got me, and I share this with my kids from time to time.
Right.
But when I started in high school, we had around 100 kids in that ninth grade. By the time I got to the 12th grade, we only had about 50 or 55 students to come out with a diploma. So when I got to Livingstone and started talking to all these kids, it didn't matter, you know, that they were AME Zion.
Right.
But they kept talking about how they had come out of classes with 200 and 300 kids, and most of them were Northern State. And I started feeling inferior. I kept saying, oh, what am I doing here? You know, I just came out of a little school where there were only 55 of us to come out in the 12th grade until I got in that classroom.
Mm-hmm.
When I got in that classroom, that's when I saw. They may have come out of classes with 200 and 300 students. They didn't know a bit more than what I did. And, see, that's good for kids. To, I will never in my life forget that. I mean, never.
And that was also, go ahead. I'm talking.
You know, what am I doing here? I'm not going to be able to compete with these kids because I came out of a little small school. Didn't make a difference. If you have taught and you have learned something, it'll take you any place.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Exactly.
Any place.
But you know, that was also part of the part of the attitude at the time. They weren't trying to teach any of us anything, no matter what school we were in or where it was located. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
They weren't trying to teach black kids nothing. And that's what
the only thing what my black teachers taught me when I was in that school, when I went to college, I didn't have any problems. The only problem I had was I'm just saying they taught me well. I just didn't that I was going to be good enough when all these kids talking about they came out of classes 200 and 300, even 100, and I didn't have a 55 in my class. If you know something, I don't care how large the class, I mean how small the class is, you know it.
Right.
That's right.
I had been taught well.
Right. Well, you know, with that forced integration, those teachers didn't want to see us in their schools.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
See, I thank God I never went to an integrated school. It was always all black college, all black high school, and naturally all black college. My black teachers taught me well.
That's right.
Oh, yes.
The same way you did, the same way you taught your students. The same way I taught my students.
And that was my promise. I said if I ever became a teacher, I was going to do for my students what those black teachers did for me. I was going to give them the best that I knew how to give them.
Exactly.
And they took a personal interest in every one of us.
That's right.
Yeah.
They did.
Yeah. And that was one of the special things, super special things about Livingstone is that those professors really did become our surrogate parents.
That's right. They care for us.
You know?
They really did.
Yeah.
I remember, and I don't mind sharing this either, the first time, you know how you had to, if you were going to teach, you had to take the National Teachers Exam. The first time I took that National Teachers Exam, I came close, but I failed it. I didn't make it. You should have seen me going over to Dr. Smith's apartment and crying. I was so heartbroken. And that's when she told me, no, stay strong. You know this material. Go back in there, take it a second time, and see how much better you're going to do the second time I pass it. And, again, I remind that to kids, you know, you don't make it the first time, you don't give up.
That's right.
Going back and going back until you do it.
And,
now for some of those professors, you couldn't go to, you can't, they don't even want, they don't care whether you pass it or not. You're just a number.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Yep. We are a chosen people. That's all I can say.
Right.
We are a chosen
right.
people to have come through and still coming through. Was put upon us on a daily basis,
right.
and yet we still persevere.
That's right.
But wait a minute. There it is. I had the poem in my hand, and I put it down. Lord have mercy. Okay. Well, do you all want to hear this?
Yes.
Before you leave, I'm going to send you a text Miss Lucy with the contact information for the county news because I have it in my phone. So I'm just going to send you a, with that contact info.
Oh, thank you, because I would love to read those articles.
Okay. All right, then. Go ahead.
And we need to get back that back to that. We used to have black newspapers in every state.
Sure did.
What's happened
sure
to
did.
You know? Well, now everything is digital. I guess that's part of it. But I don't know. There's still a need. There's still a need.
Mm-hmm.
And
there are
like,
a few of them left, a very few.
Yeah.
I think there's one left in Detroit. There might be
Baltimore.
One left in Chicago.
And one in Baltimore, Afro-American newspaper.
Okay. Yeah, we got a few.
Okay.
I think they still have the pallet. Not the pallet. The pallet's in my hometown. What is the one here in Charlotte? Oh, I can't even think of the one.
Observer.
In
Observer. Is that a black newspaper?
That's a big one.
No, that's not the black. That's just the normal
newspaper.
Yeah,
that's a big one.
Uh-huh. Because it's by the Johnson family. Oh, I can't think of the name of it. Yeah, but we still got one here in Charlotte.
Mm-hmm.
That's good.
Let's see what that is.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. This is Rites of Passage, Gola Hall, and the dance at the Trent Gym. That was something. That's the only thing we had to look forward to.
That's
so
right.
Anyway.
That's right.
Yeah. Saturday night at Gola Hall. From floor to floor and to the top of every ceiling, sulfur, aid, and tar fumes float throughout the building with hot plates burning red hot and straightening combs smoking, telling the secret of short hair growing long and silky. Tops of Dixie peach pomade heat on the hot plate to melt the grease into oil, hair being pulled to the front to hide a face scarred with beauty burns from a hot comb too close to the skin. As the ladies of Livingstone press hair and dress to impress to hopefully attract a gentleman tonight. Short and tall girl, petite and voluptuous girl, half naked, half clad, bird baths and showers fully occupied. Water turning freezing cold. Skins of black, brown, and gold, cinnamons, reds, mocha chocolate, and butterscotch. The ritual was in full swing, getting ready for the dance in the Trent Gym. When the lights on the second floor East Hall start blinking in every room, and a chorus of voices reaches a crescendo, praying, God, don't let that electricity go out until I finish busting these naps in the kitchen. The ladies were timid souls entering Trent Gym, for in order to go into the dance, there were several gauntlets to pass. The first was the inspection by the fellows on campus, who had arrived early, just to line up on either side, just to line up on either side of the entrance to give testosterone-filled catcalls of approval or disapproval. That took courage to pass through. The second gauntlet was more terrifying, as the bleachers in the gym were filled with our chaperones, our professors, and the dean of women, who looked upon you as their charge and became our surrogate parents. And my, how they took that role seriously. This was a Christian school with high moral standards, and they kept a tight rein on youthful hormones and youthful transgressions all week long, as evidenced by Vespers every Wednesday evening, required Bible study class, church services in Varick Auditorium. And then there were the Coleman rules of conduct for each student. No hand-holding, ladies couldn't wear pants. Gentlemen not allowed to sit straddle-leg on the benches under the maples and the oaks. And sign in and sign out wherever you go.
That's
get
right.
Permission to ride in a car. Dorm curfews. And let's not forget the ton of saltpeter floating in our drinks with each meal. On to the dance at Trent Gyms. As the ladies entered the dance, one last check of the outfits worn. Not too short, not too tight. Girdle holding the jiggle still. And definitely no cleavage shown. They were ever mindful of how they danced. No uncultivated gyrations of the hips. Not too close to your partner. And not too wild. While secretly praying, our chaperones would tire before too long and leave before the last dance, which was always a slow, slow dance, like to the sounds of Percy Sledge singing When a Man Loves a Woman.
Oh, I remember that. Yes, yes.
When our chaperones did retire and for certain had exited the building, the dance turned up a notch as the pounding dance steps released the dust from between the wood planks of the floor and covered our shoes and continued to rise and create a halo of dust above our heads. If you were dancing on the last record, it usually meant that you would be escorted back to the dorm, where amid the lush hedges in front of Gola Hall, you would create a room of privacy as the evening kiss goodnight would gently press you up against the hedges and the branches with their leafy tips would wrap around you and your man. And you become camouflaged, incognito, wearing leaves in your head and cloaked in the color green, secluded in your very own kissing booth, oblivious to all around you. Never mind that just inches away to your left and to your right were other couples under cover of the ivy and the oaks. Never mind that the sisters without a mister were hanging out the dorm windows overhead, watching, signifying, masking their jealousy under the pretense of laughter. It's minutes before curfew. And a figure appears under the porch lights to Gola Hall. Mrs. Alcestes Coleman.
Oh, yes.
I got to turn to you. Okay. Dean of Women steps out and without a word looks to her left and looks to her right. And lips unlock and hands unclasp and drop to their sides. And personal spaces returned as the hedges empty out. Mrs. Coleman pruned and cleared those hedges like a professional landscaper. The ladies head to their dorm rooms to grab their pillows tight, reliving the goodnight kiss. The gentlemen head over to Frankie's Chicken Shack for some barbecue dipped chicken and share bragging rights. It's curfew time. Got to get ready for church in the morning. Boy, I could see
Lucy,
I'm
that's
telling
all right.
You.
I mean, that's all right.
Bring
you
back.
Can see. You can see all these images that you brought out. I tell you, that's all right, Lucy. Yeah.
Hey, you remember, and when the dust would rise up. If you looked up, you literally saw rings of the dirt, the dust, going
That's
around
right.
in the ceiling. And when you got back to the dorm and you went to the bathroom, you saw your hair. It looked like your hair was gray from all the dirt in the hair.
You are so right. You are so right. Oh,
Lord, yeah,
those were the
man.
Days.
So
yeah.
many.
Yeah.
And all that time, we getting that hair pressed before we
That's
went
right.
to that gym with that date of ours. That boy, would lay his face up against one side of your hair, and he would be swept. And by the time you got back to the dorm, that side of your head would be so nappy. You wouldn't even know you had seen a straightening comb. Oh,
that's the truth. That is so true. Right. You know, the reason this is so beautiful, Lucy, to be reminded of this, because I say this all the time, we lost our beautiful culture.
Oh, yeah.
We had,
yeah.
We lost it. Right.
Because we were all that propaganda that what we had was not necessary.
That's right. Yeah,
that propaganda that said everything white was better. You know?
That's right. And we believed it. We believed
yeah.
it.
Oh, yeah.
And gave
and
it.
And we still believe it. And we still
oh, yeah.
believe it because that's
yeah.
why we can't get it together now.
That's right.
That's my opinion, you know.
It
We've
was
got
never
so much
anything wrong with us.
Never.
We should never have given up who we were.
Yeah, that's
yeah.
right.
That's right.
Lost.
Now, look at our kids.
Yeah.
Look at our kids. Smart, talented, and they don't even know that they're smart. We knew we were smart because we were constantly
yeah.
told that all the time. We knew
yeah.
it.
Yes, we
Not
were.
Only told
These kids
that
now
all the
don't
time.
Know it.
Right. But we had it. We had all of that intelligence in us. You're right.
Right.
You're so right.
Right.
And somehow we got to claim these kids back.
That's what I was telling
you
my
know?
Kids in Sunday school. When the teacher asks a question, even if you're not certain, raise your hand, volunteer to answer it, even if you get it
yeah.
wrong. Right, answer.
That's right.
Try to answer what
mm-hmm.
she's asking.
Yeah.
I remember my teachers used to get angry with me and tell me, "You now look, we can't call on you all the time. You're not the only one in the class." But it was just I
yeah.
wanted to learn.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Mm-hmm. But they tried to take all of that away from us. You know.
Yeah.
I think I might have said this last week or. Last time I was on here, I was telling you about my mother and father going up to school for me because of my grades.
I remember.
And
I remember you did tell us.
Yeah.
Yes.
He went in
mm-hmm.
the
right.
principal, the vice principal.
Right.
And my father said, because my mother and father educated people, Livingstone College. You know they put education in our mind and heart
right.
raising their children. You know,
right.
My father had them people turn purple because he said, "What is this C? Does this C stand for color?"
Yeah.
They turned purple.
Yeah, mom.
They turned purple. Oh, did somebody come on?
I don't know.
Praise God. Evangelist Strong.
Oh, our time is up. So sorry.
No,
okay,
no,
guys.
No. Carry on. No.
Oh, is it time?
We just got 2 minutes. 2 minutes.
We got about 2 minutes. Uh-huh.
I'm sorry.
Oh, no, she the blog
talk
radio
1 minute.
Said 30 seconds.
Oh, okay.
Seconds.
30 seconds.
But anyway, I enjoyed the conversation. And I'm so glad you tuned in.
Me
and,
too.
Okay, y'all. I'm going to try to check with you this week.
Okay.
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 Yeah, right. I got my boots right by the door.
Okay. Good night.
Okay. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.